This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Monday, October 18th. A phenomenal weekend in the books, sports and otherwise. It was just me and my little guy as my daughter had a Girl Scout camping slash apple picking weekend. So, you know, we did a lot of dude stuff, which means like eat out food, barely cook, and play a lot of sports and watch a lot of sports. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun, and culminating with what was a pretty damn good Sunday in the NFL. And yes, I am that soccer dad taking his kid to the game. And I have Red Zone on my phone, and I'm watching Red Zone. I didn't get a lot of photos or video of my kid playing soccer, but, you know, listen, this is my job. I kind of love it. You know, I have to watch football, and, like, some of the other parents know. And, you know, there's a little jealousy that, hey, pretty awesome job you got there. You just have to watch. I was like, yeah, I got to do that. Not to stay in and watch 9 hours of football. But I confess to not waking up early to watch the shit show that was Jacksonville-Miami from London. Although, shout out to the Jags. Congratulations. Awesome win for Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. I think that was the first rookie to win in London ever. I think they were 0-5 against the spread, 0-5 straight up. I'm fairly certain of that. And Jags are not dead yet in the AFC South, although I can hear Rob G snickering as I say that. But let's get to the big story in the NFL from Sunday, and what a Sunday it was. You know, I started out incredible with the gambling, 3-0 in the 1 p.m. games. All the favorites won. And then you get to the late games. And yes, we will get to the Cleveland Browns' complete meltdown against undefeated Arizona. We may touch on Rob G's Raiders, but we got to give our flowers to Dak Prescott right off the top, because is anyone hotter right now than the Dallas Cowboys? I know Arizona just won and they're undefeated, but what the Cowboys are doing right now is phenomenal. And I went on Cowherd Show, I think 3 weeks ago, and said, folks, Dak Prescott, MVP, take a look. He just had the most amount of passing yards ever against a Belichick defense. Unbelievable performance from Dak Prescott throwing the football. I think the exact number was 400, including overtime, of course, 445 yards, 3 touchdowns. This is a great stat. He dropped back to pass 51 times. Was not sacked once. Like, Dak is mobile. Remember, he's coming off the injury last year, which was pretty gruesome. Okay? And you think, oh, that guy's not going to scramble. He is scrambling well when he needed to. The offensive line struggled at times in the red zone, right? We know they had 2 turnovers in the end zone, or this would have been a blowout. And by the way, Dallas was the better team. I know it was close. It went to overtime. The Cowboys are much better than the Patriots. Dak just had the most passing yards ever against a Belichick defense. 70% completions. He hit 9 different receivers. Remember, this is a guy who's down Michael Gallup, who's probably his second or third best receiver. They had 32 first downs. 25 of them were through the air. Remember, Dak Prescott came into this league, mid-round draft pick. He had to go in for the injured Tony Romo, and he was a hell of a game manager, right? Riding that incredible offensive line. Let's give it to Zeke. Feed him. Feed Zeke. And Dak delivered. Didn't make any risky throws, everything, not quite a captain checkdown, but certainly a game manager making safe plays. And to watch his maturation process here over the last 5-6 years, of watch Dak Prescott go from game manager, and that's not a slight, that's what he was. There's nothing wrong. You can make a lot of money being a game manager in the NFL as a quarterback. You can win a Super Bowl as a game manager. Dak Prescott has now become a superstar. This guy, without question, is one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. And I'm sure there's going to be people saying, well, Jason, you always bandy it about. You said last week Justin Herbert was top 5. And Justin Herbert has been playing like a top 5 quarterback. He had a rough Sunday. It happens. It's the second time in his career that they have a top 16 points. Is he not allowed to have a bad game, folks? Like, is that okay? Justin Herbert did not have a great game against the Ravens. That's a fact. He did not have a good game. Dak Prescott has now played 5 straight outstanding games. And there's really no pushback. Like, oh, Dak, he's not delivering. Well, like, in overtime when he was perfect driving them down the field and getting the game-winning touchdown. And it wasn't one of these, like, first reads. It was the rollout. He had the tight end short, and he looked to the second layer, and he was wide open. C.D. Lamb, yes, he is an outstanding receiver. Jerry Jones and the rest of the front office who wisely took him in the draft. I mean, just listen, it was a great move. I know it was pilloried at the time. Like, oh, come on. Why are they adding a receiver? They've already got Cooper. Hell of a pick in CD Lamb. That guy, all he does is get open. And I'm just saying, I think this Dallas Cowboys team right now, if you ask me who's playing the best football in the NFC, I'm going to go slight edge over Arizona, slight edge to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, why is it? We've seen it for five straight games. Arizona, I thought last week, played down to San Fran. And let's be honest, they got handed the game against Cleveland. Cleveland continually turning the ball over, just mistake after mistake in their own end in the first half. That game was over. I think it was 20-0 because of Cleveland mistakes. Yes, Arizona delivered, but I thought there was a lot of self-inflicted wounds from Cleveland. Although, I'm not taking anything away from a road win by Arizona. But I just think this Dak Prescott offense looks phenomenal. They might as well lock up the NFC East. We saw the Giants go down again. They are total garbage. Philadelphia Eagles, we saw them lose on Sunday night. I don't think they're very good. And we know the Washington Redskins, Washington football team, the definition of Washington right now is poverty. They are awful. Probably my favorite stat from Sunday. Washington against the Kansas City defense, which is historically bad. Washington did not get into the red zone once. I mean, really, that's how bad the NFC East is. So you've got Taylor Heineke stinking up the joint. Their half their offensive line is down. Their receivers are all hurt. They're terrible. Their defense stinks. And you've got your Dak just motoring through. Now, there is the concern about the calf on the game-winning play. I guess he was celebrating with Zeke Elliott and stepped on his foot or something along those lines. He had some calf injury. Doesn't look as bad as the Kareem Hunt calf injury. Holy cow. I mean, the Browns are walking wounded right now, folks. Their injuries around the league are bad. And I don't want to go back to the Jacksonville-Miami game, but out of the blue, I mean, Miami's top two cornerbacks were ruled out. I wish I had known that on Friday. I would have definitely taken the Jags. I mean, goodness gracious. The injuries around this league are mounting. And obviously, we need a healthy Dak. And the reason I did not open the pod with Sunday Night Football, Seahawks, Steelers, is because I don't like to talk about backup quarterbacks. They're boring. Like, it was a difficult watch. Geno Smith versus Ben Roethlisberger. One guy's at the end of a great career. The other is in the middle of a journeyman career. And I lost interest. I watched a lot of Braves Dodgers. Obviously, a lot of interest around the NLCS as it heads to LA this week. Maybe I'll go to a game. We'll see. Haven't been to a game this season, but we'll see. It's a busy week. The NBA tips off Tuesday night. I need to sound the alarm. Rob G, I will be in the building for Lakers Warriors. It's official. I will be there opening night. Very fired up about it. Should be a good one at Staples. I don't know the mask policy. I don't care. I'm vaccinated. I'm excited. NBA, NFL, college football. I'll get back to NFL in a sec, but it was not a great college football Saturday for your boy. Took some on the chin. That being said, when I write the Fox Sports column, you know, I got to get my picks in, like, I think it's Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, Wednesday afternoon, I got to file it. And I only gave out there's no good game, so I only give out a handful of picks. It did not go well. Week before was awesome. My guy, who's our guest on the pod tomorrow, Preston Johnson, sent over, you know, texted me some college football picks. I shit you not, he went 14-2. And I did, like a moron, of course, I didn't take all his bets. But he helped cancel out a lot of my college football whiffs. And he's going to be the guest on the pod tomorrow. We're going to preview the NBA. I know you guys are fired up for that little gambling angle to the NBA preview. And also, you know, Lakers, Nets, Sixers, blah, blah, blah. But Monday shows are for football. And I was so impressed with Dak Prescott. I don't know how you can't watch Dallas and think, man, this is definitely a Super Bowl team. They punted once against the Cowboys, first possession of the second half. I mean, listen, McCarthy, we know he's not great. I don't know about the decision on the first drive from your own, like, 32-yard line. I don't know about that one to go for it. It didn't end up killing him. You know, I don't know what the analytics said on that because I try not to look too much at the analytics on first quarter, fourth downs. But ultimately, McCarthy was fine. I will confess to in overtime, as they're driving, I'm like, oh, well, McCarthy's just going to start going to the Zeke Elliott dive so they can set up a 43-yard field goal for the win or something dumb. But impressively, Kellen Moore, maybe he overruled McCarthy, the OC Kellen Moore. And, you know, they're throwing, and it worked. It paid off. Belichick and the Patriots, folks, we can admit they're just not a good team this year. Mac Jones is very good. As a rookie, he's showing well. They don't have a ton of weapons, although the kid Myers played well. Kendrick Bourne had the bomb touchdown catch. The running back Harris, who I have on my fantasy team, he's fine. I mean, listen, they're a good team, but they're nothing special at all. I mean, the Bills are miles ahead of them. Basically, the Bills are to the AFC East what the Cowboys are to the NFC East. Just they're running away with the division. I will get to the best bet tonight for Bills, Titans. But Rob G, do you have any? I didn't sniff out or even actively seek out any counterintuitive Dak Prescott takes. Like, oh, well, he's not that good. I did get a whiff of, well, he's got a stacked lineup around him. Look at the receivers and Zeke and the line. Like, isn't that the point of football? You know, to show me a quarterback who's not delivering. Patrick Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill. Yeah, they got some skill position players. Like, everybody has good players. Herbert does. Baker Mayfield does. Like, everyone has good players. You're not doing anything if you have crap players. So I don't know, Rob. I feels like everybody's finally agreeing that Dak, I don't want to say he's like worth the contract because that's a lot of money and this is a small sample size, but he is playing outstanding football right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dak has been fantastic. I mean, I guess the only thing I could say that's negative if I wanted to play that game is that for fantasy purposes, you know, not so much just because you don't know week to week which receiving option is going to go off. Like, you know, week one, it was like Amari Cooper, and then it was Dalton Schultz for a hot minute. And then yesterday it was, you know, CeeDee Lamb. So other than that, you know, and I have him in fantasy, so I guess that's why I'm bringing it up. I mean, he's been great. I mean, I will say though that I'm probably more worried about his calf injury than you are, or he's leading us to believe, only because, you know, I'm worried about his mobility a little bit, not necessarily outside the pocket and scrambling, because he's not really scrambling like that much this season anyways, but just within the pocket, you know, navigating, sliding up and down and back and forth and, you know, things like that. And if you really want to push off and fire a football into a tight window, you kind of need that calf muscle to be right. So, you know, luckily for them, they're on the bye coming up this week, so we'll give them time to rest and hopefully he'll be back to 100%. But I do think this is like a perfect dovetail to Pat Mahomes. Because, you know, on one hand, you got Dak, who's playing arguably the greatest football of his career. And on the other side, you got Pat Mahomes, who's playing what I would say is easily the worst football of his career. I mean, look at it this way. As recently as last season, there were people having legitimate conversations about whether or not Patrick Mahomes could become the greatest quarterback ever. And not like in like the Tom Brady greatest ever, where it's like, well, hey, he's got all the rings, so he must be the greatest ever. I mean, the Brady with the winning, because he's been to a Super Bowl, actually been to a couple of Super Bowls, and he's already got a ring, and you know, he may collect a few more based on how stacked that roster is. But also like in the Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers level of greatness, where it's like they may not have the rings, but I've never seen anybody throw the football the way they do. Like, Pat Mahomes was legitimately in the conversation as being the greatest because he could stack a bunch of chips while also making throws and making you just go like, wow, like this guy's awesome. And then all of a sudden, like somewhere around like the bye week of last season, he just like morphed into Brett Favre 2.0. And you know, Brett Favre's great. Like, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to say that he's not great, but you know, no one's ever going to say that Brett Favre is the greatest quarterback they've ever seen. Okay. Like, Pat Mahomes has 15 interceptions in his last 15 games. Last season, I believe Pro Football Focus said he had 23 turnover worthy plays. Now, it kind of worked out because he only had 8 actual turnovers, but you're seeing that regression, like that luck that he had last season is just not there anymore. So I know that he's still fantastic. I know they got the win, but I'm a little bit concerned, you know, about what we've seen from Pat Mahomes. Just going to say that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Can I defend the best quarterback in the league? Can I defend him? Not that he really needs the defense. So if you notice what's happened in the second half of last season and in the postseason and this season, A, the defense is a joke. And you've got to make plays when you know your defense can't stop a nosebleed. B, the offensive line has gone to tatters. They've been injured. They're a wreck. And as witnessed in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes is running for his life on every play. And frankly, against Buffalo last week, I thought he was under heavy duress. Buffalo dominated in the trenches. So when you're getting dominated in the trenches, and you know if you have to give the ball back to the opponent, your defense is just leaking oil all over the place, you're going to be forcing some shit. And I think that's gotten into Mahomes. And listen, the red zone interception against Washington looked like some rookie Mickey Mouse shit. Okay, it was embarrassing. I called out Mahomes. It happens to all of us, dude. Come on, Rob. Well, not us, because we don't throw passes, but, you know, the bad snap, he picks it up. He's like, oh, I got to make a play. And then, like, that's uncharacteristic Patrick Mahomes. And it was like, he didn't even have grab the ball. He just, like, flung it up in the air like a pizza, in a pizza joint, just circling, and it was like an interception. I was on the Chiefs, and I was a little nervous. They're trailing at halftime. You know what happened in the second half, though. Patrick Mahomes is like, okay, I got what they're doing. Good snaps. Let's just protect me a little better. Oh, okay, got it. Okay, Tyreek Hill, got it. Okay, every third down needed. Okay, we're good. Yep. And they rolled. Easy cover, no sweat. Kansas City just absolutely rolling. 31-13 victory. Made me very happy. Let me just, I know you're bashing Mahomes a little bit. Let me just give you the stats. 29 first downs to 15 from Mahomes. 499 yards, 276. 6.4 yards per play. 3 for 4 in the red zone. I mean, I know it's Washington and consider the opponent and all that. And yes, Kansas City leads the league in turnovers. But when your offense is this good, sometimes it doesn't matter. Now, against like the Bills, it'll matter. Against the Ravens, who look incredible, do they not? It matters. But when you're playing the dregs of the league or even below average teams, it don't matter. You're going to have some turnovers. Guess what? You're not punting. You're still rolling through them like tanks rolling through cannon fodder on the front line. That's what this offense looks like. Now remember, they're down Edwards-Helaire. So I don't know. I still like the Chiefs a lot. I still stand by last week's take that they're probably the fifth best team in the AFC. But I will point out the Browns were, I thought, you know, we went with Patrick Mahomes as the second biggest story, but I thought the Browns' immense poop burger at home was a stunner. Against a team missing their best defensive player, missing their head coach, looked pretty good without Kingsbury. And Cleveland was hell-bent on just handing the football game to them, Rob. I was stunned, and I was pretty heavy, not going to lie. My biggest bet of the season was on the Browns. It did not go well. It went very poorly, actually. The Cleveland Browns opened the game. Punt, turnover on downs, fumble, interception, and at that point it was 20-0. If not for a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, Donovan Peoples-Jones, hello, he's a mandatory waiver wire pickup with Odell going down with the injury, still no sign of Landry back. And they play on Thursday night. So, you know, I don't even know if Baker's going to be starting Thursday against Denver. But this is a Cleveland team that just gave away the game. They did not come in focused and locked in. I think it probably went to their head that they look so good against the Chargers. Or it's possible, Rob, it's possible, I'm just going to float this, that they were so shaken by that loss and how they led by two touchdowns and kind of choked it away that they never really responded. And I'm going to mention the injuries are a factor. No Nick Chubb, both starting tackles were out. Kind of a big deal, even though there was no Chandler Jones on the other side, both starting tackles down, and then Kareem Hunt goes down in the second quarter. You got my guy, your guy, Rob, Odell Beckham, dropping another fourth down slant. That's back-to-back weeks. And they just don't look like a buttoned-up team right now. The penalties were just awful. I think they had like 7 in the first half, finished with 9 for 99 yards, 3 turnovers. Listen, when the other team gets in the red zone 7 times and you turn the ball over 3 times, you're not winning. This is not happening. Now, sometimes, Rob, as a fan of the Raiders, you know this. As a fan of the Jets, I know this. There's going to be games where you are just bad. It happens. 12-5 teams will look bad for a game. Remember, the Green Bay Packers opened the season getting de-pantsed 38-3 by the Saints. They have not lost since. And 3 of their 5 wins are by double digits. Everybody has a clunker, right? I mean, Tom Brady is 44 years old. He's going to put up a clunker every now and then. It just happens to everybody. So the Browns had a bad week. I think what's concerning about that is the injuries. Baker Mayfield, like something's wrong with his shoulder. That's obvious. And without your starting tackles, I don't know if you even want him starting a quarterback. Browns now 500 team. And I was gassing him up as one of the, you know, five best teams in the AFC. I'll stick with that because I'm not like some knee-jerk guy who reacts to 1 week. But kind of disappointing from the Cleveland Browns, Rob. It almost opens the door for your Raiders to come crawl back in.
That's right, man. Shout out to the 1-0 John Gruden-less Las Vegas Raiders. I wish I had more time to talk about the Raiders, to be honest with you. You know, going back to the Browns, I mean, are we sure that they're even that good? And let me set the stage like this. Look, they played the Chiefs tough week one. To me, that loss to the Chiefs looks less and less impressive every day because we've seen that, you know, this defense is terrible and these are not the Chiefs of 2020, 2019. All right. That's number one. And then you go through the rest of their schedule and it's like, okay, they were losing to Houston before Tyrod Taylor got hurt. They were going to win that game. They get the Bears, and they smashed the Bears, but I believe that was, if not Justin Fields' first start or like he had to come in relief. It was either one of those two. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. They then go to Minnesota and have the least impressive victory that anybody's had this season. It was a 14-7 slobber knocker. And even Baker Mayfield said afterwards, you know, I got to play better. You know, they won the game and he knew he had to play better. And then since then, they lose twice. So I'm not sure if, you know, on paper, they're great. They're loaded. They're stacked. But I'm not sure if they're really that good, if that makes sense.
I think it would be closer to they're that good than wishful thinking. Remember, they got into the playoffs last year, I believe, with a negative point differential. I'm almost certain of that. And they have, I think, like the 7th or 8th best Super Bowl odds, so the market respects them. They have a smart head coach who likes to gamble on 4th down, and they've got skill position players that are good. They got a great offensive line. I think Pro Football Focus had them as a top 7 offensive line when they did the ratings like a week ago. Like, a lot of positives. But they also have like 7 or 8 new starters on defense, and you know, eventually we'll get back around to the Baker Mayfield story. I can't judge Mayfield until he's fully healthy because he did not have a good game. He's just too damn loose with the ball right now, you know? But again, down 2 tackles, what do you expect? But the counter to that is, well, Jason, listen, everybody's dealing with injuries. Like, it happens around the league. Look at the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers came into the season without his left tackle, David Bakhtiari. What do they do? Well, you know, you just next man up. And it was ugly in the first game. Rodgers was bad. And they've now won 5 straight. You know, it's like, this is what the good teams do. But Cleveland doesn't know how to win. They have 1 playoff win in this century, I think. You know, Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs every year. Steadying force in the locker room. I don't know who's pounding a table in the locker room and commanding respect and getting the players on board like, hey, this is what it takes. Like, none of these guys have won anything. Odell Beckham's never won a playoff game. Jarvis Landry, I don't think has. I mean, Nick Chubb went to a playoff at Georgia. What has Kareem Hunt ever done? Like, there's no winners in that locker room who can just stand up and command a leadership role. I mean, they've got some, you know, probably some guys from Alabama like Willis, the offensive lineman who won a national championship. But again, well, you can't stand up because you get an Alabama title ring and expect 56 guys to all of a sudden fall in line. Like, I don't know if Baker's that dude. I mean, I think he wants to be, but it's one thing to lead the league in commercials. It's another to be so roller coastery with week to week, like what Baker are you getting? And I don't know, Rob, do they have a leader in that locker room? Who is it? Maybe I'm missing somebody.
Well, you know, it should be Baker Mayfield. I mean, I'm not sure that his teammates follow him like that, you know, and I don't know, I'm not in that locker room. So I, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but it takes a special person to be a leader of a team or a leader of men when you're not like the reason that they are successful. Like, I know this is not a great example, but like Cam Newton in New England, Cam Newton was wildly mediocre, even, you know, below average when he was in New England last season. But because of his gravitas, the way he carried himself, everything about him just made guys want to follow him. He had this aura about him that people wanted to follow. And I don't know if Baker has that. And, you know, and this is another thing, and it's, this might seem, you know, insignificant on its face, but to me, it there's like a little bit of an underlying thing here. His wife posting that thing on Instagram last week saying, like, you know, the city of Cleveland needs to appreciate what they have and Baker's changed the culture and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's got to be a certain level of insecurity inside of, you know, not just with her, but inside of Baker a little bit, I think, that would make her want to step out and defend her man like that.
Well, he was truly bad in year two. And then he got better last year, and we expected him to make the leap this year. We haven't totally seen it yet. But I don't know, Rob. I guess, you know, I'm not going to totally judge him the way, like, I know I come down hard on Tua, and yes, there's a bunch of Dolphins fans who listen to this podcast just because they want me to say nice things. Well, they're all with me now. They're like, oh, Tua, Flores, what the hell are we doing? Like, listen, there's some bad teams out there, Rob. I mean, the New York Giants are bad. Miami Dolphins right now are bad. The Detroit Lions are an awful football team. They got their teeth kicked in. Now, I'm embarrassed that I believe on the Monday pod, I looked at the opening lines. I was like, Lions, money line? Do you remember I said that, Rob, and you laughed at me? You probably forgot. Okay, you remembered. Luckily, I did not bet that. I liked it. I was like, ooh, Lions, money line, tasty. And I did not take it in the contest. You could just see that team is dead. They're done. They're toast. And Dan Campbell, you could see, like, that last loss took a lot out of him, and they just never had any energy or vibe this week. And then he took a shot at Jared Goff after the game, and I'm like, dude, his offensive line is in shambles. He's got like three receivers on IR, and Anthony Lynn's calling his plays. Really? You're gonna bash Jared Goff? That's what he needs to step up? Like, really? That's your takeaway? What about, we don't have shit for talent on this team, and the injuries are mounting, and I don't know if we're going to win a game. Like, that should be the take. And Rob, I know you don't like to look too far ahead at the gambling lines, but have you taken a peek at week 7?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm just going to hit you with a couple of these lines real quick, okay? Before I get to the best bet for Monday Night Football. This week is going to be absolutely bananas, all right? Green Bay's favored by 10 at home against Washington. It's a big number. The LA Rams are favored by 15 at home against Detroit in the Matt Stafford revenge game. I don't know if that's a thing. Tampa Bay, this is the one I did bet. Tampa Bay is favored by 12.5 at home against Chicago. I did not bet the Chicago Bears. And then the big one, Houston at Arizona. Do you want to guess the line? Winless Houston with Davis Mills, who had a couple of decent drives against Indy in that whitewashing.
Arizona minus 17.
Correct. It did touch 17.5 for, like, you know, 30 seconds. Then it came right back down. So I guess that's the buy point for anybody. I'll just say this before you run to go bet Arizona, guys. After this game, Arizona plays Green Bay on Thursday Night Football. It'll be the two best teams in the NFC record-wise, excluding Dallas. But be careful with Arizona in that spot. I can totally see that being a flat spot for Arizona. Now, I mean, maybe you take first half Houston, because who the hell can bet a David Culley team? But I have already scooped up the Arizona. I did this preemptively. The Arizona defense in fantasy. Rob, I know you're a good fantasy manager. You surely were on this. Arizona's a must start in fantasy this week. If you don't have them now, they're going to be gone.
Yeah. Well, then again, I thought that starting New England last week against Houston was going to be a start of the week too, and that didn't really work out too well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was on the road. This is at home. Chandler Jones returns from COVID. Hopefully he's fine. Next week's games are a mess. Kansas City favored on the road. Like, are we still doing this? At Tennessee, I guess that's weird because Tennessee plays tonight. And I guess let's get right into it with the best bet here.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
The interesting thing that popped up Sunday, I don't know, Rob, if you have him on your fantasy team, but A.J. Brown had a mystery illness, and he's all of a sudden questionable. Well, that's kind of a big deal, right? Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, when they were out, they were getting pushed around and they struggled for a bit, okay? The New York Jets beat them. beat them without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Now come in the Buffalo Bills, who many would argue they're the best team in the league. And if you don't have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown healthy, you're going to be in trouble keeping up. I personally, I did take a little bit on the over. It's a big number, 53.5, but I cannot bet the Buffalo Bills favored by 6 on the road. Remember, last week, Kansas City was favored at home against Buffalo. Buffalo underdog rule? Hells yeah. Now Buffalo laying 6 on the road. And if you remember, this is, and again, I know this whole revenge spot narrative is silly and played out, but don't think that the guys in the locker room don't remember what happened when they went to Tennessee last year on, I think it was a Tuesday night football because of the COVID postponements. Tennessee beat them by like 30. I think I got that right, Rob, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Tennessee worked them. I mean, it was a beatdown. Derrick Henry had his way. It was just, it was ugly. And I wonder if Buffalo says, hey, man, we're on a bit of a revenge tour. Okay. Kansas City, we had to slay that dragon. Cross that off the list. Next up, Tennessee. And again, if you've ever played sports, you know what it's like when you're facing a team for the second time or after losing to them once. There's an extra incentive that, man, that this is, we got to get these guys back. I remember the trash talk. These pricks. And you want to get them back. So I feel Buffalo could open a can. Now, if they do beat Tennessee, by 2 touchdowns or whatever, I don't think there's any argument who the best team in the league is. Many would already say Buffalo. Who do you have as your number one team right now, Rob?
Ooh, the Rams.
The Rams that lost to the Cardinals?
Yes.
Interesting. I did not expect that.
I don't give Buffalo as much credit for beating Kansas City the way they did after what we've seen Kansas City's defense look like. Like Kansas, this isn't last year or the year before's Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that's fair. I just bet the over. I could see it being like 37-23 Bills win, something along those lines. This week's just going to be fire in sports. NBA tips off, NFL, college football, MLB postseason. Also, you got to get your Halloween costume ready. Rob, do you have an outfit yet or no?
I do not.
Gee, what are you waiting for, man?
I don't think I'm going to dress up. I think that's
why you got your kid. Come on,
she'll
man.
Dress up. I won't.
Jeez. Anyways. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.